All right, let's call this meeting of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:02 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, March 17, 2011. Present with us today are Co-Chair Sadler, Representative Vice Chair Gatto, Representative Osterman, Representative Lynn, Representative Miller, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Thompson. Let the record also reflect that Representative Cisna is excused from today's meeting. Before we start, please turn off your cell phones. Just turning the vibrate will still interfere with the recording system. Thank you very much. Of course, we would like some donuts in here, maybe, you know.
Maybe no hope. But we don't want some.
The purpose of today's meeting is to hear House Bill 180, Veteran Designation on Driver's License, by Co-Chair Representative Dan Sadler, and also House Joint Resolution 18, Consider the Death Penalty for Nidal Hassan, by Representative Carl Gatto. Let's begin with House Bill 180, and we have a committee substitute for House Bill 180 before us, version 27LS0589-B. Representative Gatto, might you make a motion to bring the CS before the committee?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll move CS for House Bill 180, version 27/B, before the committee for discussion.
Seeing no objection, we'll be addressing the CS for House Bill 180. Here today to present House Bill 180 is Representative Dan Sadler. Representative Sadler, you want to do it from your chair? Place your name on the record and proceed.
With the co-chair's permission, thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dan Sadler, representative for House District 18. And I'm here this afternoon, this fine St. Patrick's Day, to ask your support for House Bill 180, the CS. House Bill 180 authorizes the Division of Motor Vehicles to note a person's status as a veteran on their state driver's license or identification card. It also authorizes DMV to give the name and address of a person receiving a veteran-designated card to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. House Bill 180 seeks to help Alaska veterans who retired or were discharged under honorable conditions to help them receive more of the benefits that they have earned through their sacrifice and service in uniform, and to which they're entitled by law and by custom. Mr. Chairman, as we know, Alaska is one of the most veteran-friendly states of the Union. About 60% of businesses show their appreciation to veterans by offering special discounts, preferences, and other benefits. By giving Alaskans a way to carry reliable and convenient proof of their veteran status on state-issued cards, this measure will help these veterans more easily enjoy the full range of personal, business, and social benefits offered to them, and without having to carry copies of their DD-214, DD-215, or NGB-22 forms to prove their veteran status. A second important aspect of the bill is HB 180 authorizes DMV to provide the names and addresses of veterans who obtain these designated cards to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Tens of thousands of Alaska veterans currently have no contact with the state's Office of Veterans Affairs, and they could be missing out on significant government benefits to which they're entitled. Passage of this bill will make it easier for the state to reach out to make these veterans aware of the programs available to them and to help them receive the benefits that they deserve. I would respectfully request your support of House Bill 180 and be glad to take and answer any questions I can. Thank you for your time.
All right, members, are there any questions of Representative Sadler, Representative Gatto?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Is this going to possibly evolve into something where firemen want a designation on their license and then University of Alaska students want a designation on their license, and then much like the license plate issue?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I don't think that given the innate modesty and valor of firefighters that they would ask for this benefit.
They're not modest. Follow-up question, Representative Gatto. Seeing none, is there other questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll then open this up to public testimony, and we have quite a few people online. We have Verdi Bowen, Director of Office of Veterans Affairs. Verdi, are you there? Not yet. Oh yeah, Verdi Bowen. Verdi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir. I'm sorry. I guess it just unmuted. Still there?
All right. Did you have some testimony?
Yes, sir. What I can say is I was going to add some positive attributes to this bill.
Please,
I'm
Please state your name.
The biggest positive attribute to this bill that we have currently in the state of Alaska is we have a series of veterans across the state that are unable to receive a VA medical card. And that's not, it's either due to service or it's due to some legislative mandate. And so in order for them to receive any of their discounts, they have to carry a DD Form 214. The problem with that is most of the people that receive or see that 214 have no clue what it's actually saying to them. It doesn't tell them whether the person has an honorable discharge or if they even served. And several times during the year, we have to send a memo to someone reflecting that an individual is truly indeed a veteran. And opening this up to the National Guard and to the actually to all the services will allow those people to receive those discounts at those different stores that they go to.
Okay, is there questions of the committee from Mr. Bowen? Representative Sadler.
If I may. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really, you'll probably need to put yourself on the record. We know who you are, but for the secretary to do that. But question for you, Verdi Bowen. I know this is an idea that has had some currency. It exists in other states. How was this idea derived? Do you have any information on the history of this?
Well, through the chair, Director Sadler, yes, I do have some idea how this whole idea derived. It actually started last summer when I was in Willow, Alaska. I saw an old gentleman trying to purchase lumber at the hardware store, and he was using his DD Form 214 to receive his military discount, and I'd asked him if he would like to see this on the driver's license, and he told me he'd be first in line to get a veteran status on his driver's license so he didn't have to carry that form around. That's how the first part of this started, sir.
Follow-up for Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Verdi, how many other states offer this this service, and what's their experience? Do you have any idea?
Currently, right now, the two that I know that had just completed it and are actually using it is Oregon and Arkansas, and I believe that is New Jersey doing it as well?
I'm not sure.
Oregon and Arkansas currently have just passed it, and they pass it for the same reason that is in our bill, and many people are totally ecstatic that this is occurring. I think that people recognize on a driver's license, if it says veteran, they're going to know that person is a veteran more readily than they would by looking at someone's DD Form 214.
Thank you.
Further questions for Representative Miller?
This one can probably be nailed down real quickly. Is there anything in the bill to designate further than just veteran status? Like, you know, I was in the Navy, I was the Air Force, Marine Corps, any of that? Or is it just veteran?
Representative Sadler.
Through the chair, there is nothing in there for service. Because the businesses do not recognize, I don't want to mislead anybody, but the businesses recognize veteran, not the individual services when they provide their discounts.
Thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Verdi. We have a fiscal note here that looks like we're going to spend about $100,000 one time. But we'll be adding people to the database on a continuing basis. Is it the opinion, and I'm trying to read the note here, the analysis, that seems, I'm going to guess this, that once we get the database, it won't take any effort at all to just add the new veterans to the database. Is that correct?
That is correct. Sir, through the chair, it'll be exactly like organ donors when they go in and change their driver's license.
Now,
Representative Gatto.
Yeah, on page 2 of the analysis, in the fiscal note, it says $693,000 estimate additional revenue collected in FY12. Where does the revenue come from?
Sir, I'd have to defer that to Representative Sadler. I will have to actually look and pull that fiscal note up, sir.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, through the Chair, Representative Gatto. Good question. I was surprised and gratified to see those numbers. Indeed, the Department of Administration estimates it would cost about $96,000 and change to do the programming work and to issue the first round, the first year's worth of cards. The additional revenue of almost $700,000 would come from the assumption they'd issue new cards, replacement cards, to about 75% of eligible veterans at the fee of $15 per card. So you can do the numbers about, I think it's 57,000 cards times $15.
Is Whitney Brewster online?
I believe we do have somebody from DMV or administration
online.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, let's talk to Whitney if we get a chance.
Any further questions of Mr. Bowen? Thank you very much, Mr. Bowen. We have a question now for Whitney Brewster. Are you online?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. There is an approximate $96,500 expense to the DMV to allow it to put in its database a field for veterans, and then also be able to transfer that data to the Division of Motor, I'm sorry, to the DMVA. The influx of revenue that you're seeing in the fiscal note of approximately $693,000 is assuming that there will be approximately 75% of the current veterans, which is estimated to be at about 77,000 in the state of Alaska currently. Assuming that 75% of them will want the card, we have come up with a quantity of about 57,750 of those opting for the designation. Of those, we're assuming that 20% of them would be up for renewal anyway. So we did subtract that amount from the total, and we come up with approximately $693,000 in potential revenue to the state.
Follow up by Representative Gatto.
Yeah, Whitney, it's $30 for the vet to get the special license, and if that's true, is that repeat or is that a one-time charge, much like vanity plates are just a one-time charge?
Through the Chair, Representative Gatto, it's $15 for a duplicate license. That would be if they opted to come in early to get their license with the veterans designation, they can certainly do that, or they could wait until they were up for renewal anyway. And then you could put the designation on the card at that time. There will be no charge for the designation, the veterans designation. It's simply if they want to come in earlier than their expiration date to get the card. So it would be, if they came in early, it would be a $15 duplicate license fee.
See.
Any other questions from committee?
Well, I have a question for the committee. We have an effective date of March 1st. That's 2012. I'm sorry. So that'll work out.
Ms. Brewster, I thank you very much for your testimony. We have quite a few other people online. One of them that wants to testify, Jerry Mittman from the Alaska ACLU. Mr. Mittman, place yourself on the record and we'll hear your comments.
Mr. Chair, this is Jeffrey Mittman with the ACLU, and actually we'll be testifying on HJR 18.
Okay, not on House Bill 180.
That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have Joe Fields, Chairman of Alaska Veterans Council. Joe, are you on there?
Yes, this is Joe Fields, calling from Fairbanks. I'm Chair of the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council and a proponent of the CS for House Bill 180.
Can you get a little bit closer to the speakerphone you're on, please?
Yes, is that better?
Thank you.
Yes, Joseph Fields. I'm Chair of the Alaska Veterans Advisory Council, and I'm here testifying in favor of CS for House Bill 180. And looking at this bill, it seems like a no-brainer, quite frankly. We have, as has been said before, 77,000 veterans by VA estimate in Alaska. Many of them, about a third, are registered at this point. I think this will be a incentive to registration, which would bring unquantified benefits into the state. There's already a very large amount of benefits received by veterans in the state, and having veterans more comfortable and more knowledgeable of the system is very important. And we've had quite a bit of an effort to reach out to the veterans through town hall meetings and summits. I think this is another way of doing it, and I think it's very effective. And it's an important effort in honoring vets as well. Sorry, if there's any questions you have, I'd be glad to take them.
Questions for Mr. Fields. Joe, thank you very much for your testimony. Next online, we have Ron Siebels, the regional commander for the Order of the Purple Heart. Mr. Siebels, did you place your name on the record, please, and your affiliation?
Yes, sir. My name is Ron Siebels. I'm the regional commander for the Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm in full support of this bill. I think it's a great thing. To me, it's kind of like Alaska's giving these veterans a helping hand. I think that's a great thing because there are some veterans out there who are somewhat shy. And if they have something on their records, it, to me, it's kind of like you're building a bridge between their shyness and what's available to them. And I think it's a great thing. I'm totally in support of this bill. One more thing I'd like to point out is in support of everything that's already said, this card is going to be a lot easier to carry than a piece of paper, like a document 214 or something like that, and it's going to be a lot more durable. I just think this is a plus-plus all the way around. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Siebels? Thank you, Mr. Siebels, for your testimony. And next online, we have Gary Kirpus, the past national commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Mr. Kirpus, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please state your name and your affiliation, and go ahead with your testimony.
I'm Gary Kirpus with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and I also speaking in support of HR 180. It certainly is a plus-plus for everybody. There's no doubt about that. In light of everything that's been said in the positive, I think also just having a record for the Division of Military and Veterans Affairs of all of our veterans, if they will all take and get registered this, when a legislative change comes within the VA or something, as happened so frequently, as an example, under Agent Orange or something, that division could send a notice out to all the veterans at that time. And think of the impact, the monetary impact that that potentially would have in the state and our service officers going out and assisting these people. And, you know, we make a very good effort of that, but it's hard to reach everybody. And if we had a record of everybody through this means, the Division of Veterans Affairs could certainly do that through the state, and it would certainly help out. So I cannot see, you know, what it would cost, the lower it would cost. It looks like there would be a revenue maker for the state to start off with that. We certainly should support this. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Kirby? Representative Osterman.
Yeah, thank you. One of the questions I had was in reference as to why the Department of DMV would have to provide the name and address to the DMVA. Sir, did you just explain that you thought that that would help DMVA with their record keeping of military people?
Well, I think more on the keeping people posted. Communication sometimes, as a service officer in the state of Alaska for 21 years and traveling through the bush and so forth, it's hard to communicate a lot to the veterans a lot of times. And if we had a record, an address on record, and when some major change, some major legislation did happen, just a short notice to them of the potential, and maybe that would affect them, where they could come in and contact somebody to file a claim, is kind of what I was getting at.
Follow-up question, Representative Osterman?
Yeah, I'm just a little confused as to what the benefit is of having DMVA take that extra step. But
if we need to, we can contact the bill drafter, Jerry Luckhopt. Pardon? Representative Sadler said he can answer that one.
I'll give it a shot. Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Osterman. The benefit to the veterans of having their name and address on record with the Office of Veterans Affairs is, as was said, it does allow them to proffer to make sure those veterans know about the benefits available to them. I'm sure there's a standard intake process where they check your status and see what benefits, you know, where you served, what your duty was, what benefits you might have coming to you if you so choose. I've been working with Mr. Bowen a lot in the past. I know that there's about 50,000 Alaska veterans who do not have contact with and either choose not to or don't know about the services available to them. This would allow one more channel of communication between the veteran and the service office set up to help them, to offer them the services. There's no obligation to take them, but at least they need to, it'd be nice to have that opportunity.
Okay. Any further questions of Mr. Kirpus? Gary, thank you for your testimony today.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have
anybody else online that wishes to testify?
I don't think there is. Is there anybody in the room that wishes to testify? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony. And again, members, if we have questions, we can get a hold of Bill Drafter, Jerry Luckhop. And go ahead, Representative Osterman.
I have a comment, I guess, and then it's more to the physical note than it is anything. And I'm surprised the estimated hours that they've gone on here for making this small change on the driver's license. And it bothers me, and I don't know what the what DMVA, how they estimate that 400 hours to redraft that at $143 an hour to redraft a computer program is already there doing your license in the first place. But so that is a question that I would raise on it. My other comment would be I would have a hard time believing that 80% of the veterans that have driver's license right now will come forward and voluntarily immediately and ask for a duplicate license. So I think that this $693,000 of income is probably inflated just a little bit on what the actual reality of base would be. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you. I do support this bill, Mr. Chair. I did have a question here on Section 1, Line 8. It says, to identify a person as a retired veteran or a veteran of the armed forces. I'm a retired veteran. I have my military ID card here I'm showing to you. This shows, you know, that I am a veteran. So if I have this as a retiree, why do we have to put it on the license that I'm a retired veteran? It doesn't hurt anything, I guess, but because I do have this, I can show somebody asked for it. And I do want to go through McDonald's sometime.
I am Representative Lynn myself. I'm a honorably discharged veteran from back in 1965 through 67. And I don't even know where my DD-214 is. I would definitely go down and find that and get my driver's license where it did designate that. There's many people that don't have a retired card. They are honorable discharge veteran.
I agree. We just made a note here that it does include retired veteran. Yep. Which is kind of redundant to this, but it causes no harm. Just leave it there. But I just wanted to point that out.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Lynn, that's absolutely correct. There's many proud veterans who have retired, gone through their 20 or 25 or 30 years of service and have retired, and that's true. They do have that card. This is certainly those retirees like yourself could avail yourselves with this card or driver's license. It's about 40,000-50,000 other veterans who did not retire, served honorably under honorable conditions, and did not receive their retirement card.
You're a veteran whether you retire or not.
Right.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Sadler, does anybody have a design yet? Do we know what this thing is going to look like?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, no. The design is one of the least important things as long as it's legible. The experts at the Department of Administration mm-hmm. would sure come up with a small, unobtrusive, I hope, but functional. This is not a decorative. This is purely functional, just like everything's. If we could make it all a drab, that might be a nice thing.
follow up here. This is a suggestion, and I think this follows along with Representative Osterman's question about reprogramming and so forth. I'm going to suggest that maybe we could just put this designation right on the line with your name, as in, you know, Steve Thompson, and then in parentheses in big letters VET, you know, and just skip this whole reprogramming of the whole system. Just an idea.
And just be able to stamp it.
There you go. Yeah. Or, you know, you punch a hole in it. It's something easy like that.
Any other questions, Representative Osterman?
Yeah, one final thought here. And when you read the fiscal note, it talks about redesign on the driver's license. And I'm assuming that the way the bill's written, though, it's also any identification card that DMV issues or the state troopers issue, because there are ID cards out there. I suspect there's a lot of veterans who may want this on their identification, but don't drive anymore. And so that is all covered under the way that the bill's actually written.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you to the Chair, Representative Osterman. That is correct. In fact, that's one of the reasons for the CS version is we did extend it to cover both driver's licenses and state-issued identification cards for just that reason.
Thank you.
Further discussion from committee members? All right. What are the wishes of the committee? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, there's a question.
Yes.
Representative Osterman, did you want to amend it, or because, you know, I had the same consideration. That's a lot of dollars for software work, which seemed like we could just about eliminate all of it. I mean, it's a lot of 400 hours to do. Gosh, I mean, 400 hours, you could write a book of software.
The only Mr. Chairman,
Representative Osterman,
we do have the option of changing the fiscal note that goes out of this committee.
Do we have a member have any amendments?
Well,
further discussion.
Let's just think about it for a second,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I happen in my private life to be married to a systems analyst for the Indian Health Service, and it's amazing how many hours it takes to affect what might appear to a layperson a minor change. I have long ago decided that I'm not an expert on these things and to defer to the wisdom of my wife, the expert, on such issues. Having said that, however, it does seem to be a little bit large, and I would encourage the department to do whatever they could to bring that number of hours down. It does seem a tish high, but again, I'm no expert.
Should we attach a letter so requesting
Yeah, I definitely would support the idea of at least a second look at this. There must be a simple way to do this.
Representative Sadler.
A comment, and I should know this too. Does this go to finance? Is there a referral to finance, or is this a state affairs probably? If the next committee of referral were to be finance, that would be appropriate. I might make this suggestion that the next committee could be an appropriate place to do that, being that the cost of government is a function of state affairs.
Anybody here sit on state affairs?
Chair.
Carl?
Nope, I don't.
You have the chair here.
I have the chair.
State affairs.
State affairs. No, I have no objection. I may see about waiving it out, depending on whether
they're talking about modifying it with the amount of hours and dollars per hour for the programming.
It's okay with me.
All right. Is there a motion to move House Bill 180, Version B?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Osterman.
I would make a motion that we move CS for HB 180, 27LS0589-B out of committee, individual recommendations, and attached physical note.
We want to attach a letter?
We're going to do it to
state affairs.
Nobody can do that. No problem.
You can do that. All right, is there any objection? Seeing none, I'll take a brief at ease while we sign this legislation. Resolution 18, consider the death penalty for Nadal Hussan, and it's by Representative Gatto. And here to present the bill is Representative Gatto. Representative Gatto, put your name on the record and begin your presentation.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yep, Representative Gatto, District 13, Palmer. Almost all of the things that are alleged in the sponsor statement were witnessed by numbers of people. I don't think there's any question that the dialogue of describing the series of events would be fairly easy to prove. And because we believe what he did it deliberately, was planned, pre-planned, had weapons, he knew he was going into a place where people didn't have weapons, that this was a opportunity to at least have the sentencing people consider the death penalty as one of their options.
All right. Are there any questions for Sponsor Gatto or his staff, Sarah Munson?
ACLU.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you know, does anyone sponsoring or involved in this know if the death penalty option is currently off the table or on the table or being discussed?
I'm sorry, I don't know it, but what we want to do is encourage it. If it's off the table, then encouraging it will have no value, and if it's on the table, we... But I think in military sentencing that it's probably on the table.
That would be my guess, but I don't know.
In answer to that question, as staff of Sarah Munson, I put your name and affiliation on the record and answer that question, please.
For the record, my name is Sarah Munson. I'm staff to Representative Gatto, and through the chair, Representative Miller. Most of the news reports that I have read say that, you know, they conclude the news report with he is in military custody at this point and faces a court-martial with the possibility of the death penalty. So I do not think it's off the table by any means.
Thank you.
Who's next? Representative Lynn?
Either one of us, I guess. Is there anything in here that says alleged? Because technically speaking, he's innocent at this moment. Because he did not receive the court-martial trial. And so, is there anything in here that would prejudice the case where we're going to give him a death penalty before he even had the trial?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the resolution does not say alleged, and that was an oversight of mine. And I think that is definitely worth discussing. I also want to mention that I discussed this with the drafter, Doug Gardner, and he mentioned that we could insert kind of an original whereas that says, according to publicly available documents, these are the assumed or alleged facts of the case, and then continue with our whereases, and then that's a possibility, so that we kind of set the stage and say, these are what we believe to be true but have not yet been proved by a court of law, if that is what the committee is interested in doing.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks. I would also share the concerns previously expressed about are we trying the guy and convicting him by these statements. As an old reporter, we often had to write about what might seem to be an obvious case of criminal activity, but the editors always insisted you put the word allegedly or charged with, because until he's been tried by a court of law or by a court martial, he didn't do it until he's proven to have done it. So I would have less degree of discomfort with this bill if it did qualify the allegations with the word allegedly or some construct. I would like to see that kind of language. And I would also add, however, on page 2, starting with line 5 and through line 8, I think it might be a challenge, line 5 through 8, page 2, to try and, because it does say Mr. Hussan by committing these crimes, and whereas this act of terrorism by Mr. Hussan, I don't know linguistically how you would qualify those. I've got some concerns about those two whereas clauses as well.
Representative Osterman and then Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with all due respect to the author of this, and I think this is poor public policy. Where do you draw the line in these types of resolutions on some mass murders or whatever that go on out there? And we see it constantly all the time. And we had what's Congresswoman out of Arizona, I think it was. That same thing could apply, and the same principles could apply to this type of a resolution. So I'm going to have a very hard time voting for this or even moving it out of committee.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know if this is a fine point. I recognize that in the top section of the resolution, we first identify this man as Major Nidal Malik Hassan, and then through the rest of the document he's identified as Mr. Is that normal? Is that standard? Do we need to correct that so that we know which one we're talking about?
Ms. Munson?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, I think that was a stylistic choice, and I don't see a problem with calling him Major throughout or Mr. from the start. I think it's merely stylistic. That's really the only answer I have.
I will say I don't have any particular problem with the language. I was just curious if there was a reason for the change from the way he's originally introduced.
Through the chair, I will say that I modeled this resolution off of a resolution that passed last year asking for the death penalty to be considered in the case against Joshua Wade. And so they referred to him as Mr. Wade. Now, obviously, he didn't have a special designation. But so in my drafting of this resolution, that's where I came from, and that's merely the reason why I used Mr.
Okay. Representative Lynn.
Thank you. I think it should be either Major or Mr. Allery. It should be consistent whatever he chooses. And I, as far as I know, he's not been stripped of his rank because he hadn't had the trial yet. So he is technically still a Major. And it offends me. I'm also a Major, and it offends me. But still, I think he is still technically a Major until he's perhaps proven guilty, as probably will be. Unless it's an insanity defense.
That actually, if I could, that was my next question. Does anyone know if insanity has even been brought forward as a possible defense?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, as far as I know, the most recent decision through the court process is that he's been declared competent for trial, for the court-martial. I don't know what his attorney will use as a defense, but I know that he has been found competent, to the best of my understanding.
Further questions from the committee for the sponsor or for Ms. Munson?
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think any of the statements in here have ever been disputed. And we could write the word alleged, but the number of people that were killed, the number of people that were wounded, the weapons that were used, the fact that he shouted has never really been disputed by anyone. And while we could put alleged in there, what was that? if indeed we had, a different side to the argument, he doesn't even dispute it.
All right. Any further questions to the sponsor or Ms. Munson? Either one? Seeing none, then we'll open up to public testimony. Online, we have Jerry Mittman from the Alaska ACLU. Mr. Mittman, before we start, I do have a copy of the letter I received about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. We have passed it out to all the committee members, so they do have your argument in front of them. Mr. Mittman, if you'd please come forward and place yourself on the record with your affiliation, we'll hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jeffrey Mittman, M-I-T-T-M-A-N. I'm with the ACLU of Alaska, and I appreciate the opportunity to provide some testimony. As the Chair noted, we have provided to the committee and its members some written testimony. I will not repeat that. I will note, just to answer the committee's question more specifically, it is our understanding as the beating of March that the commander of the 21st Air Cavalry Brigade has recommended that the charges against Major Hassan be sent to a general court-martial, and that would allow for imposition of the death penalty. That decision, as we understand it, will be made finally by the third corps commander, Lieutenant General Cohn. So in some respects, it may be that this resolution is, I suppose, too late. More fundamentally, obviously, the ACLU has significant concerns with the death penalty, and that obviously colors our testimony. More fundamentally, however, that these are legal proceedings and need to be given a full faith, credit, and credence by the American public and the military it is important that the proceedings are seen to be independent of political influence and are based only on the facts and evidence presented. From that respect, both from the ethical duty of the attorneys who will be representing Major Hassan and prosecuting the case on behalf of the military, and more importantly, for the independence of the tribunal, we believe it would be inappropriate for any political body to weigh in because it could be seen as attempting to influence the impartiality. For those who believe that Major Hassan should be given the death penalty, such a resolution could essentially be used by his defense counsel as a point of appeal to question the impartiality and to state that this was not based on the evidence but was rather based on political influence and measures of disapproval. One additional point we would like to make that is not in our written testimony, on page 1 of the resolution at lines 7 and 8, whereas points out that Mr. Hassan cried out, Allahu Akbar, we do have some concerns. Our belief is that this was intended to indicate that there's a belief by the drafter that this indicated an affiliation of Mr. Hassan with a radical Muslim terrorist organization. However, as worded, it certainly could be construed as conveying to Muslim Americans that there is something wrong in and of itself with stating Allahu Akbar, which of course is just a simple statement of faith. So to the extent it's worded perhaps not as the drafter may have intended, it could be seen as disrespectful to Muslim Americans, and we would certainly urge the drafter to consider redrafting those portions. Fundamentally, however, for the reasons stated, we believe that this resolution should be tabled and not sent forward, so there is not even any appearance of impropriety or an attempt to influence the military tribunal. With that, I will answer any questions.
Representative Gano has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Mittman, if you and I were talking and we were in a mosque and we were both Muslims and we said, how can you pronounce it, Allahu Akbar, would be one issue. But if we were armed to the teeth with pistols and firing into a crowd and we shouted the same statement, do you not see any difference in the two?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, in reading this resolution, it was our understanding that what was intended by the drafting was that this be shown as evidence that Major Hassan intended this as a quote-unquote jihadi crime. And I certainly understand why that would wish to be brought out. What we're saying is, as it is currently phrased, it appears to indicate that simply saying, it does not draw the distinction that has just been drawn between saying it in a mosque. It appears that just the statement of Allah is greatest is at issue. It would seem to be beneficial to elaborate that this is an indication in the belief of the drafter that Major Hassan intended this as a jihadi or as an affiliation with a terrorist organization.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you very much. We have some headline news here because not very often, but I agree with about 90% of what Mr. Mittman said in ACLU. And speaking a little bit facetiously, that's kind of scary. But I do agree with much of what you said, Mr. Mittman. Thank you.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Lynn. Representative Lynn.
Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little confused. While Mr. Mittman started his conversation, Jane handed out a piece of paper that starts out with, I want to thank Representative Ramos, and I'm assuming that this is Jane's testimony. I mean, because there's no name on here who signed this thing. There's no name on who's presenting it.
I can speak to it. I was going to talk about this before we got into Mr. Mittman's testimony, but you know, I didn't have the opportunity. We had Representative Chenault's bill before us in Judiciary Committee last year, and that's a statement that I made at the committee. And I was going to point out at the appropriate time that that if anyone I can think of ever deserved the death penalty, Major Hassan, it might be that person if he's in fact proven guilty. But that paper, and that's the statement I made to the committee at that time, and rather than go through all that again in this committee, I thought in the appropriate time it would be better to pass it out and make reference to that as a basis for why I'm going to vote as I am on the bill before us. So that's my personal statement I made to the district committee last year on the overall subject of capital punishment. And I apologize for not putting my name on it. It should have been there.
Do we have any further questions for Mr. Mittman, who's on the phone? Seeing none, Mr. Mittman, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Munson.
Just through the chair, in reference to that, those lines 7 and 8, I think that the fact that I should start out by saying I meant no disrespect to Muslim Americans or Muslims in general with this statement, but I believe that tying the phrase "he cried out Allahu Akbar" with the phrase "and opened fire on a military base" is enough to say that this was not intended to point any fingers at people of great faith. I am pointing a finger at this man who yelled this particular phrase in his commission of his crime. So I would just like to point out that the phrase is linked directly with "and opened fire on military personnel."
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And these are simply observations made by people that were there. As an observation, I don't see any resistance or benefit in simply saying, well, I'm going to include some observations, but I'll delete the ones that I don't think put me in the position where I can prove my case better. So as long as they're just observations, it's not a statement that says, hey, since he said this, you need to be led to the conclusion. This is just what happened.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to give public testimony to House Joint Resolution 18? Seeing none, at this time we'll close public testimony. Further discussion from the committee members on this resolution. Representative Miller and then Sadler.
This may be a small point. Page 1, line 9 indicates that Mr. Hassan killed 12 unarmed soldiers, a civilian, and an unborn child. And then through the remainder of the lines down to line 13, I count 13 names there.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Representative Miller. Those are the 12 soldiers. One soldier is Chief Warrant Officer, retired Mike Cahill. He is the civilian. And then the unborn child was not named. So there are 13 names, 12 soldiers, one civilian, and one unborn child.
I understand now. Thank you.
Further questions, Representative Sadler? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a question, actually a comment. I'm certainly in sympathy with what I believe to be the sponsor's feeling and motivation in this, and it's my fervent hope that the gentleman gets a fair trial and then they deal the appropriate punishment. But I'm also, like Representative Lynn, somewhat disturbed to find myself agreeing with the ACLU. No offense, Mr. Mittman, but I would hate to see passage of this resolution give any grounds for appeal to what, in my opinion, should be an open and closed case.
Members? It was my original intention to move this bill out of committee today, even though I did not agree with a lot of the verbiage that was in it. But I was in respect of one of our own committee members. I was going to see that it moved out. I was not going to put a due pass on it myself, but I did want to respect our member to move it out. But because of the letter we received from the ACLU, we've requested an opinion from the legislative legal as to whether this resolution would be proper and whether this resolution would give Major Hassan an avenue for an appeal. And for that reason, I'm going to set House Joint Resolution 18 aside. It will come back after we have maybe some more discussion with possible amendments and an opinion from Leg Legal. And with that, we'll have no House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee meetings next week. There being no further business at 1:53 p.m., I adjourn this meeting of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee.